Spring is in the air at Littleton Coin Company, and we want to help you brighten your collection. Visit us at littletoncoin.com all month long to enjoy 15% off your purchase. With a wide selection of coins, paper money, supplies, and more, Littleton Coin Company has something for every collector's taste. Use promo code SPRING at littletoncoin.com for 15% off your purchase all month long. Restrictions apply. Littleton Coin Company. Serving collectors since 1945.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Happy Monday, everybody. Welcome to a special Monday edition of the House of Wrestling podcast. It is me, Nick Hausman, joined as always by Innes McVeigh. Innes, thanks for coming back into the house with me here today.
Thank you for joining me, Nick. No, me joining you, however this works. I don't know. Whose house is this? Is this your house or have I got ownership?
It's our house.
Everyone's house, right.
It's our house. It's our clubhouse, as we say here. And today in the clubhouse, man, we are going to have a lot of fun. We're talking all about the Elimination Chamber. We got some rumored WrestleMania XL matches to get to. I'm going to have Chad Gable at the end of the show. But of course, if you're watching us live, you're a clubhouse member. And Christopher Zonto here. Sorry, Chris, I butchered your last name this morning. Say good morning or afternoon, clubhouse folks. Happy Monday from somewhat sunny California. You know what it is, Chris? We stole your sunshine and we brought it to Chicago. It is 67 degrees here in Chicago today. Wow. Which I think is like 4 degrees Celsius, wherever.
Yeah, roughly. Yeah. I mean, it's weirdly sunny here as well. So maybe we stole some of it as well. It's like 10 Celsius here, which is, I don't know Fahrenheit conversions. You can work that out.
I'm just surprised. I didn't think that sunlight was allowed in Scotland.
It's not really. This is a rare. I'm enjoying it whilst I can. It's very rare. I have to. It's like a vampire. It's like we have to. This is our like month of it, and then it's going to be rain for the rest of the year. So
Chris is
enjoying
Chris
it whilst I can.
Chris is saying, "Give me my sunshine back." And I'm sorry, Chris.
No, it's ours now.
Steal my sunshine. Make sure you're not in too deep. You steal my sunshine. Come on, everybody loves Lynn. Lovin' Lynn.
This is the kind of content you subscribe to the clubhouse for. Nick Hausman singing.
Oh, man. You know, I bet if we did a Nick Hausman karaoke, I probably wouldn't do terribly, I don't think. You know?
We get all special tier. We'll do that at some point. There we go.
The karaoke tier, for sure. Mm. Yeah, and we'll do like some wrestling songs, a lot of Bob Seger. A little Nirvana, maybe. I've been listening to In Utero again. Anyway. Let's talk about the Elimination Chamber. This show took place during normal hours your time in the middle of the night for us here in the United States. You were able to watch. How did it feel, Innes? How did it feel to be able to watch a WWE premium live event at a normal hour for you?
It's very strange. It's always really strange with these ones because like usually with like Crown Jewel and stuff like that, it's dark. So you kind of have the usual sense of like a pay-per-view. It's dark, you know, it's the end of the day, you're relaxed. Whereas this was 10 a.m. in the morning. So I had to set my alarm. I slept through my alarm and missed the first 20 minutes of the show, but we got there in the end. So it was enjoyable though.
Did you miss the first 20 minutes of the show or first 20 minutes of the kickoff?
The first 20 minutes of the show. I did go back and watch it, but I have, but I basically just missed the entrances. So I didn't miss too much.
Well, I have the reason that I ask is because I watched it starting with the first match, and then I'm like, and then we got to the main event. And I'm like, where the F was this Kabuki Warriors match at?
Yeah.
So the reason we'll try to take this in chronological order. The reason I had that reaction is because they have not done pre-show matches. I mean,
yeah, this is the first one in ages. Yeah, I don't think in the last year and a half there's been one. It's weird.
Yeah, no, there have been, it's been very non-normal to do pre-show matches. And so, yeah, I had to go back after the main event and rewatch 20 minutes of the kickoff show to enjoy this.
Oh, no.
So this was really my main event. It's the last match I watched.
How did it act as a main event? How well was it over the Elimination Chamber?
To be fair, Indy was over like Grover.
She and was.
That audience was so hot for her. And, even in the loss, she came across looking like a way bigger deal because the Kabuki Warriors left the ring. Spoiler alert, they won. They left the ring, and it's just Candace and Indy in the ring. And they're going, and it's not like at night where Rhea won and you got all the fire. It's during the day. You can see everybody on their feet. They've all got the signs and stuff. So, truthfully, it was a pretty kick-ass main event, in my opinion, if you watched it out of order. I feel like they
accomplished what they needed to. I mean, getting Indy out there, getting like a hometown person out there to like get people hyped and interested, it worked out. And I mean, it made Indy look like a bigger star than she has, I think, since winning the NXT Women's title like a year ago. So
yeah, and Asuka and Kairi, what an act. They look so good together. They flow, and the work in the ring is like beyond smooth. It's butter in the ring. And I thought it was a very, if I'd have watched it first, I'd have been put in the mood, but I'm watching here a lot. Hell yeah. Cherry on top of the, sundae, I suppose. So I thought it was a really, really strong opener. I thought, again, even in loss, Indy looked strong, and Asuka and Kairi. Yeah. I don't know if I would take the titles off them anytime soon. I don't really know who else is on their level.
Nah, I don't think so. I think you should really, they feel like a very unique part of the women's division, where the tag team division specifically doesn't really have many pieces of that. It feels like a lot of them are kind of just there for the sake of being there, whereas Asuka and Kairi feel like a genuine unit, and I want to see more of them doing it. But I don't know how it's going to go, obviously, with the dissension with Damage Control with Bayley and Io, so we shall see.
Yeah, we shall see here. Now time to really refocus back on Bayley and Io here. On Friday Night SmackDown, I bet we get some big revelation. So, but again, they put this on the pre-show. I'm guessing because they wanted to make sure they had plenty of, none of the chamber matches are getting cut short. We'll get to it later. Certainly felt like they wanted to give Rhea and Nia ample time for the main event. So I'm guessing this was probably just moved to the pre-show for the sake of time, if I had to guess.
I would agree.
Women's Elimination Chamber formally opened up the show. And Becky Lynch won. Becky looked great here. I thought the person who probably shined, I should say exceeded expectations, was Tiffany Stratton.
Yeah, Tiffany absolutely looked like a superstar. If Cindy looked like a star, she looked like a superstar by comparison.
People were upset when Liv Morgan took Tiffany Stratton out of that match, right?
Did you hear during the men's Elimination Chamber, they were chanting Tiffy time at one point? She was like mega over.
Okay. So, yes. So she went to, at one point, I'm just going to cut it. I have no rule. We're just going to talk about
no.
No strategy. We're winging it. All right. We're winging it.
Of course. They can wing it. We'll wing it as well.
Big winging it energy. So she's on top of the pod at one point, and the women are, she just threw Becky off. There's the pile of women at the bottom. You start, there's going to be a jump here, right? She does the watch thing. Has she done this before where she does the tippy time watch?
I haven't seen it. No, I haven't seen it, but I like it if it's a new addition.
Well, the only other person who does that is Punk, right? Who is not on TV.
Sure.
But he comes out and he does this thing and he goes, it's clobbering time. I'm just saying there's two watchmen in the WWE now. Watch people. And so I thought it was great. It was a good, it was definitely, it got everybody riled up when she pointed at the Tiffy time watch on her thing. I for sure thought she was going to do a crossbody off the top. Maybe a moonsault.
I thought at first they were going to do the moonsault, but I don't think she had enough clearance from the roof.
What an absolute maniac to hit a swanton from that height. Because look, a lot of trust, and look, these are professionals, but a lot of trust and the people you're working with to make sure you are caught and land safely when you're hitting a swanton from that height. And I was expecting a crossbody. When I saw her flip with her feet, I was like, this woman's about to die. all was fine. All was fine. Everything was great. I was just a little caught off guard by this one time. But man, yes, when Liv Morgan took her out of this match, you may as well have turned her heel. People were pissed Tiffany Stratton was taken out of this bout.
I wonder if the whole like watch thing is like them trying to swerve into a new character, because it seems like they've dropped some of the NXT elements. You know, she was like the daddy's girl, Barbie inspired kind of thing, and none of that has really appeared on the main roster yet.
You do wonder if you fight it and try to keep her heel, because like the audience really seems to want to get behind Tiffany Stratton right now. I said it last week on the Friday episode. I wouldn't be upset if she'd have won this match, right? I mean, rookie year. Going into the main event with Rhea Ripley, we've never seen them work together. You could really play on the NXT history there. And, you know, big winner for sure. Obviously, we're not going to get that. But I think the audience reaction to this would tell you that that would not have been a terrible outcome if they'd have gone with Tiffany Stratton in this situation.
No, not at all. I mean, I don't really know how else you can capitalize this going on forward. Like, unless they do, like, the women's battle royal thing at WrestleMania. But even that's like, eh.
Yeah, I thought it was a very good good opener for the main card. Raquel Rodriguez, I thought, really came across. They booked her with a lot of really powerful, strong spots. I thought that Bianca Belair, in your prime is an understatement when it comes to Bianca Belair. Just moves so well. You can see the logic into everything she does. And that TKO, it's not an easy move to hit. And when you see her getting Raquel Rodriguez and some of these other bigger opponents and really kind of having to force them up and stuff, very, very powerful imagery there. But yes, of course, it was Becky Lynch that went out and won this, and they've been teasing her and Rhea Ripley for a while now. What do you think here? Right person go over?
I think so. I think I've seen quite a lot of people say, like, maybe as not just this match, but the show overall was quite predictable. But I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. I mean, you don't want to swerve people constantly and then... Because that's how you get stuff like Rock and Cody, which then just confuses the whole situation.
Yes, I agree. The Rock and Cody thing really... But here's the thing is, like, now they're compensating, I think, by being too bland, if that makes sense. Like, I think it would have been better if we'd have just done Cody Roman, solidified it, and then you can have some other screwy stuff going on. But now, because they've gone so out there and, you know, winged it so hard with, like, the biggest angle they have, I feel like they're trying to really overcompensate by delivering where they can on things that people maybe actually want to see. Because I agree, this show is way too predictable for me. I thought it was kind of a 6 out of 10 just from excitement standpoint. Agree. Didn't hit quite like Backlash did. But that's the thing. Tiffany Stratton, I would have put her over here. Would have been different. Would have been unexpected, and I think the fans would have been there for it.
I would have been open to it, certainly. I just think with the tease they did with Becky and Nia a couple of weeks ago, it kind of would have been... I felt like it would have been more of a reactionary decision to go with Tiffany at that point. And I think we've seen enough of that recently.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Catch those springtime vibes all over Arizona. Break out of the winter blues by hitting the water at one of our lake and river parks. Take a hike among the wildflowers. Just make sure to stay on the trails and leave the flowers for the bees. Discover Arizona's best kept secret and visit azstateparks.com/amazing to start your springtime adventure.
Well, we then got the undisputed WWE Tag Team Championships, the Judgment Day beating the, what is it, No Catch Club? We looked this up.
The New Catch Republic, like that, I think.
New Catch Republic.
Which begs the question, what is the old Catch Republic? Where are they? Who are they? I feel that's a question that needs asked.
I think that William Regal is the old Catch Republic.
Oh, possibly.
Just spitballing here. Maybe sure, the black, maybe that. Maybe the Blackpool Combat Club is actually the old Catch.
There we Republic, go. That works. Right? There's the link. We can. Someone's gonna make a clickbait article out of that. There you go.
Sure. Write your fan fiction, and then they all kiss at the end. Okay.
This has gone a direction I did not expect.
My head is getting clearer every day that I am not having to aggregate news. So the Judgment Day picks up the win here. It was fine. It was a fun match. Tyler Bate, you know, Pete Dunne looked good. The highlight of this is Dom, right? Like,
yep, absolutely.
I think the negative reaction Dom got was more negative than any positive that anyone on the show got. I think that he got louder boos than Rhea Ripley got cheers. It was a madhouse for this man in Australia.
Did you see the one point where they had to black out the camera because the entire front row were sticking their middle fingers up at him? That was so good.
I absolutely did. I was like,
the best.
These Outback Aussies are nuts, man. They'll stab you, right?
So it's wild, like, looking back at Clash of the Castle and seeing how far he's progressed, because it's just insane how Dom, before he turned heel, he was fun, but I never really felt attached to him very much. But now he's one of the best characters in the company.
He's loosened up, you know? Yeah, he's feeling himself. But again, the highlight of this whole thing for me was Dom. We got, you know, Money in the Bank continues to just be in limbo.
They really need to do something with this now. It just feels like it's an accessory he's carrying about now. Like, come on, what are you right? Seth Rollins is back in a couple of days. Why not just cash in on him? Like, come on. You have a guaranteed WrestleMania main event with Drew McIntyre. If you win, go for it.
You know, and I know we talked not long ago about how Finn Balor, I guess, may or may not be he may not have re-signed a new contract yet. I think later this year is when his new contract comes up or whatever. Much like McIntyre, does anybody really believe Finn Balor is going to leave and go to AEW? This dude is part of, like, the most merchandise-friendly act. He's having to work tag matches, and he just looks like he's having the time of his life right now, you know?
Yeah. He doesn't really need, like, I think some people maybe don't like the fact that he's relegated more to a tag position versus, like, you know, his big single stuff that he's had over the last couple of years, but I don't think that really matters.
You know, there's a great quote from The Office, Creed, for all you Office fans out there, where he says, he's been in some cults, right? It's more fun to be a member, but there's more money in being a leader. Now, I only bring this up because Finn led Bullet Club and made a lot of money on that. Now he's like, you know what? That was a lot of pressure. I've made my money. Damien, you can be the leader. I'm gonna have a lot more fun being a follower of the Judgment Day and not having that pressure on my shoulders. I mean, dude looks relaxed. Dude just looks like he's having fun. You know,
it's good. I think they're really good. I don't know who they face at WrestleMania. That's the only thing. Like, I don't. Whereas I feel like the last couple of years there's been a clear direction. Now I'm not too sure. I would have said Dunn and Bay had they not done it here.
Maybe Alpha Academy?
You could, but then maybe you're setting up Gable for Gunther. So I don't know if they do them.
Yeah, because I guess the Usos are on a collision course now.
For each other, yeah. I don't know. I can't think of any, like, major tag teams off the top of my head, unless they bring out someone from NXT.
You could run back the Creeds, I guess.
You could. You could maybe, if you wanted to do a bit of a weird swerveball, you could do Corbin and Bron Breakker, because Bron's on the main roster now, technically. So you could do that.
Honestly, I don't hate that.
No, I don't, because I imagine Corbin's probably going to be back in the main roster for that Backlash show, based on the mega reaction he got in France for that live event. They were there last year, I believe. So I would imagine he's going to have some sort of presence there.
Well, Bron Breakker's a SmackDown star now. He signed a contract, right?
Yeah. I believe he's doing both shows.
Okay. But Judgment Day is Monday nights. They're on Raw, right?
True. So they are.
But if you're
NXT, I don't know what Corbin brand is. He's NXT, so I don't know. Maybe there's a weird way you could get around that.
Well, here's the thing, though, Ennis. Because if you're NXT champions, NXT titles, I think, can be defended on any brand. So,
true. Yes.
So there's your little, you know, insight. But I don't really know how you get there. Maybe what I just described is the logic you can use. But it's tough for me to think of another tag team right now that I could possibly see outside of the Wolf Dogs.
Yeah, I think it's tough to follow up last year, because I think last year they hit such a gold mine with the tag match with the Usos and Owens and Zayn that I'm not sure they can follow that. But I still, you know, I have hope for Priest and Balor, but I just really would rather Priest actually focus on his world title opportunity that has seemingly just been left in the dust.
Well, I'm sure we'll find out more tonight on Raw about what's going to be going on with Judgment Day going into WrestleMania. And we'll talk a little bit more about Mania here in a second. Actually, we could talk a little about WrestleMania right now because we have the Grayson Waller effect. To kick things off, Waller, he shared a shoey with Australian UFC star Tai Tuivasa. And a shoey is like a shoe you drink beer out of.
Yeah,
for those that didn't see it. Yep.
Yeah, okay. Pretty much. Yeah, like I don't know if it's like meant to be a shot or something, but it's basically, yeah, you drink alcohol out of a shoe, which, go Aussies, sure.
I'm not going to lie. I'm like kind of a degenerate, and I really wanted to do this.
I'm quite surprised it hasn't made its way to the US, honestly. It does sound like something you guys would pick up.
Well, and then I thought about that Simpsons episode where they go to Australia, and there's the boot. And speaking ill of the boot is a bootable offense. And I think that...
Yeah, true.
I think that this is somehow, again, the booting, the boots, beloved in Australia. I'd drink for a shoe. Anyway, the two highlights coming out of this. One, Rollins says he's days away from being medically cleared. Two, Cody Rhodes has called out The Rock for a match anytime, anywhere. And then they both beat up Austin Theory and not Grayson Waller, who was spared a beating here in his home country. Nice of them. It does feel to me like the Cody Rock thing may have switched places. And by that, I mean, they were going to have Cody face Roman, maybe at Backlash. They were going to hold it off after WrestleMania. The more this thing plays out, this tag match seems less and less likely to me.
Like really? I thought this pretty much secured the tag match. Because after Cody said he wanted Rock, Seth then interjected and said, well, with the bloodline, you never get a one-on-one match, so I've got your back, which to me indicated the tag match.
I don't know. I mean, they've got these two main events now that are so solidified, and it just seems like we are a month away, that you would want to keep all focus on making the heat on Cody and Roman, and Drew and Seth. If you were trying to split that focus and Seth is now also building to this tag match while also trying to take Drew seriously, and it just is, it's, we've talked about how muddled all of this has become. This tag match just, it feels like it would be so forced at this point.
Agreed.
And I think the idea of Rock holding off until the premium live event after WrestleMania to do a match, I guess with Cody instead of Roman, which would be weird because it's almost like you had the moment and you lost it to do Rock and Roman.
Yeah.
But this to me felt like they were setting up possibly the match after WrestleMania for Rock and Cody. Cause I don't see it happening on a Raw or a SmackDown or
no,
you know, God forbid an episode of NXT, you know, that seems weird.
If it was Vince still running creative, I would say they're probably just throwing the Cody Rock thing out there and just hoping people will forget. But typically with creative now, they do deliver when they tease stuff like this. So it does make me wonder. I mean, the next pay-per-view after WrestleMania, I think, is Backlash. And I think it would be very weird if they did Cody versus Rock in France when, you know, it's going to be a weird time in the US. Unless you do it like SummerSlam, but that's still quite a while away.
Cody and Rock after WrestleMania would be fun, I think.
The only other idea you could maybe do is the next Saudi Arabia show, which I think is April or May. In fact, it will probably be May. So you could maybe do it there, Saudi Arabia, The Rock.
You could have Rock come out on Friday and say, hey, you want a match with me? Let's do it night one. Winner gets Roman, and we'll settle it that way. But again, like, do you have Rock take this opportunity from Cody twice? You know, like, yeah. Is that the tease here? It's so much of a distraction forcing Rock. And again, an embarrassment of riches. You have the Rock wants to be in it, but you're like, we booked this so terribly, it doesn't really seem to make any sense anymore, you know?
And it feels like you have to have Rock involved somehow in some match. And it feels, to me, I think the tag match is the only way, but that feels forced. And I mean, the only way I could see this going well that people would receive is doing the tag match, maybe have Rock turn on Roman and then set up similarly to Cena and Rock the match for next year. That is a long build, but you do still get Rock and Roman out of WrestleMania that way.
Man, they do Cody Rock on Raw on the road to WrestleMania.
I mean, monster rating. Look at it that way.
Pardon my French, but what the fuck are we even doing anymore? Like, Jesus Christ.
Anything can happen in the world of WWE or whatever the hell they say. There you go. Holy the Rock Jesus. On Raw. Why not?
Holy Jesus. You could have just had Rock win the Rumble, right? I don't want to beat a dead horse here. Anyway.
Why did they just not have Rock win Rumble? Because they told Cody, or reportedly told Cody that night, that he was winning, but Rock and Roman was still the plan. So why? I don't get it. Boy, where is the logic?
I have no idea what is happening anymore. It's really, I mean, it's taking it away from me, you know, like, and it's especially at a time where I'm like struggling to enjoy professional wrestling because of like all of the horrible things going on for real in it. You know, you look for that chance to escape. And then you watch this and you're like, God damn, all I can think about is the backstage stupid politics going on right now.
Same. That's been my life for the last 6 years. I'm like, I remember back in the day when I just watched this just for what it was. Good
damn, some bitches. All they do is get me talking about what's going on backstage.
Just be nice people. Be nice people and let things happen.
Dwayne Johnson showed up and said, I don't give a shit. This is what we're doing now. I'm a heel, I guess. Where's my chicken wings at? I want to wing it.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This moves into the Elimination Chamber for the men. Drew McIntyre came out on top, but holy hell, you know, if you wanted shenanigans, this was the match for you. Now, this kind of plays into the rumored WrestleMania matches. The Observer saying Randy Orton versus Logan Paul is Batiste and AJ Styles versus LA Knight internally listed. Those are the two matches for WrestleMania. Now, both of those matches looked to have been set up in this bout. First with AJ Styles attacking LA Knight with a steel chair, once the cage door was open and he inserted himself and set up LA Knight to be eliminated from the match. I don't know. Maybe I'm not watching SmackDown closely enough. Is there a lot going on with LA Knight in the club or the OG, or is this?
I think it stems back to the Rumble and how they did that. And they've still got, you know, issues based on that. Honestly, I'm quite surprised they're doing two singles matches. I thought this was going to lead into maybe like a ladder match with Logan Paul involving Orton, Paul, AJ, LA Knight, and I don't know, Chuck, Lashley, and Karrion Kross in there. There's your six ladder match. But I mean, I like that they're supposedly doing a singles match for LA Knight. I think he's long deserved that. That's a big opportunity. But It seems, they've still got some weeks to go, so maybe there's some story built up there, but it does seem a bit weird.
Yeah, well, you know, look, I know there are many people out there that aren't quite fully on the LA Knight bandwagon, but he is still very popular, and AJ Styles is he's in his zone right now, and when he wants to be a heel, and he is a damn fine heel when he wants to be, this could be very simple. Good guy, bad guy, and those are usually my favorite stories. So I'm willing to give it a chance. And same with Randy Orton and Logan Paul here. I thought what an incredible setup. The use of the brass knuckles by Logan Paul has just become such a wonderful storytelling device for him. You know,
I am so surprised that Logan Paul has become one of my favorite people in WWE. If you told me this, like, even a year and a half ago, I would not believe it, but he just gets it so well. I mean, I don't know if you saw, there was a video he put out shortly after the show where he was like, he had a pen and he was drawing stuff insulting Kevin Owens on the side of the chamber, and then it just cut to Kevin just smashing his face into the side of it. He just gets it so well. But there's so much they can do in that match. You know, you could do like, I've always just thought the Logan Paul like buckshot lariat into Orton's RKO. There's so many interesting spots you can do here.
Yeah, and Randy Orton's been the US champion before, has he not, or no?
Yes, I think he has, once or twice. I think fairly recently he has. I seem to recall that, but not.
Well, he had the last titles he had were with the tag titles with Riddle, I believe.
With Riddle, year. Yeah. And I think that was the world title.
He is a one-time United States champion. How long ago was it since he had? He won his first United States championship in 2018.
Yeah, it wasn't too long ago. I think it was it was just before WrestleMania, I think, because that was around the time he did the Bray feud.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, it's not a title I necessarily associate with him, you know?
No.
Here, 1 second. Here we go. Okay, ooh, cool. I pulled up all the full list of U.S. champions here. So who did he beat? Let's go down a rabbit hole.
I think it was a four-way at Mania.
He defeated Bobby Roode at Fastlane in 2018 to become US champion.
I have no memory of that.
And then lost the title to Jinder Mahal at WrestleMania.
That's what I'm remembering. Yeah, because it was like a weird like three or four way, which had like really weird people in it. It was actually a weirdly good match.
He only held the title for 28 days. So that's why it's a maybe non-memorable US title run with Randy Orton there. All right. I didn't know. The match itself, good guy, bad guy, great. Just the setup here done in the match with the brass knuckles, the way it was all paced and laid out, thought it was very, very well done. Definitely got me on the hook. We'll see about AJ Styles and LA Knight. And of course, Drew McIntyre gets the big win, gets to stare at that pyro going off in the sky. And, you know, we'll see. Does he pick up the win? Does he beat Seth?
I was going to ask you, because I think he does beat Seth. I want him to. I think if you've got all this set up to Cody, you've got the set up to Punk. I think there's a great story down the line when Punk comes back of, I managed to steal your WrestleMania opportunity away from you and took the title that you wanted. I think there's a really interesting story there.
God damn. He's going to just keep cutting promos on Punk about how he's doing everything that Punk's not getting to do for like 9 months. And it's going to
We've got like 6 months of this and it's going to be so good.
Punk's going to come back. Butterfly knife stab. Before we get to the main event, there was a quick segment where Triple H came out, announced the crowd attendance, got a big pop. I guess this is what he does now. He's the guy who comes out and waves his hat.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fun little... He seems to do it pretty consistently for the international shows now, because I think he did it the last Saudi show as well. So, I mean, it's a fun little use of him, I guess. He's technically, I guess, the new... I think they're really trying to push this, like, he is an on-screen figure now, because I don't know if you've noticed, they've now started billing him as Paul Triple H Levesque. So, and they've really started to push the CCO position. So I guess putting him on screen for that point.
This is the great ball and cup, right? They want Vince out in every single way. They want you now thinking about Hunter as the guy, the visible face of control and consistency. And please stop asking about Vince. Vince is gone, guys. I think that's the vibe. I can tell.
Yeah, it's a little bit. It'll be interesting when it gets to WrestleMania how that sort of avoiding Vince is going to happen, because very typically they have like Vince in some sort of video package. And I do not see that happening this year.
I think many members of the press are going to fold like origami, my friend. I'm serious. I don't think anybody is engaged really with this. I mean, they're all, it's like everyone's just kind of waiting for the next shoe to drop. And I feel like people are trying to not get involved with it, which is so freaking weird to me. Cause it's like, what are we doing? What do we do, people? You know?
Yeah. I feel like just there's not, it's difficult now to like try and keep pushing them on the same thing, because they've shown that they're just not gonna, you know, elaborate, as it seemingly. I mean, based on Hunter's comments at the press conference, I don't think they're gonna make a big statement until something serious happens with this. So unfortunately, I don't think we're gonna see much.
So let's talk about the 52,000 people that were here today. Am I right, everybody?
It's interesting that he did not do a press conference after this. It's usually the international shows he does one, but he did not do one here.
This whole thing is getting so screwy, man. So yeah, screwy. It is. All right. We'll wrap it up here before we get to Chad Gable talking about the Women's World Championship match. Rhea Ripley taking on Nia Jax. Rhea Ripley over like Elvis in her home country. They did try to give these two women a fair amount of time. Definitely one of the longer women's matches I think I've seen on a premium live event in a while.
Yeah.
And at the end, Rhea hits her with the Riptide. Everybody goes home happy, and we shall see if they can get people on the hook here for Rhea and Becky. But you know, for whatever reason, I'm not quite bitten by this match yet.
No,
hasn't quite got me yet. No,
it doesn't feel like they've done very much for it apart from just what they did at the kickoff thing. Which, to be fair, the promo they did at the kickoff event was very interesting. I think if we get more of that, it's going to be great. I mean, if there's anyone who can build intrigue into that kind of match, it's Becky Lynch. But you know, I mean, based on, you know, the fact that Rhea's main evented this show, I believe this was the first women's main event in a premium live event since Bianca and Sasha at Mania 37. So the fact that they're putting that much trust in her to have her main event at PLE says a lot. So I'm not too worried, honestly. I do think they have what it takes to kind of get me invested in such a short time.
All right, everybody. Well, that brings us to the end of our review. Before I throw to Chad Gable, I want to remind you, again, if you want to watch the show get recorded live twice a week, you can head over to the House of Wrestling at Clubhouse. It's patreon.com/House of Wrestling. Sign up. Become a member. We do this twice a week. We are not going to do the Raw review tonight with Matthew England. We're going to instead push that to next Monday. So next Monday, cool. Me and Matthew England will be back. And then next Wednesday and Friday, me and Ennis will be back just like normal. But you will be able to jump back in this Wednesday and hear more of Ennis and I. But of course, if you're not a Clubhouse member, you can still enjoy the show with ads over on your favorite podcast platform, over on our YouTube channel. Hit the subscribe button for both comments, reviews, chat messages, all that stuff. Always very, very much appreciated. And that's all I've got. Ennis, anything you want to plug, put over here, wrap up today?
Just my Twitter at Ennis_McVeigh. You can search that pretty much everywhere and find all my general social media stuff.
Wonderful. And I'm at Nick_Hausman over on Twitter. Thanks so much for tuning in, everybody. And wrapping it up here today, here's my conversation from Royal Rumble weekend with Chad Gable.
I feel like I see you every 4 months now.
Man, it's a regular thing for us.
It is. We've got a little dynamic going on.
Cool. We're friends now.
Are we?
I don't know. Are we?
I don't know. I don't know if you want to be my Maybe. Friend. I get a lot of heat sometimes.
Yeah, I got enough friends anyway. Yeah.
3, 2, 1. Hi, everybody. It's me, Nick Hausman from House of Wrestling. We're live here at the Royal Rumble Media Junket, and I'm joined right now by the Alpha Academy's Chad Gable. Chad, thank you for much taking the time.
Thank you.
So are you the leader of Alpha Academy?
I am the leader, the founder, the CEO, whatever. Whatever positions are the top level, that's me.
Wonderful. Well, you know, you guys have been spending a lot of time with the Creed brothers and Ivy Nile recently. Are you interested in recruiting them, bringing them into Alpha Academy full time?
I mean, I feel like they got their own thing going. They're not really, I've offered them some of my training services. They turned me down twice. So like, what an insult to the master.
Right.
Okay. Plus I got Tozawa to look after now. I got Maxine. I mean, roster's full, man, but we're coming out with a website. For those of you that don't know, we will be accepting applications. I'm not saying we're going to sign anybody. Applications will be available, though.
Well, you've also had a chance recently to go down to NXT and compete down there again. How has it been going back to the yellow and black brand after spending so much time on the main roster?
That was awesome. It was it came out of nowhere. Like, they just told us, hey, you guys are going to go down there and do some matches. I didn't even know what we were doing when we went down there until I talked to Sean and He explained some stuff, and Sean was so cool and got my input on things, which isn't always the case, you know, so that was neat. And to be back in front of that crowd who, you know, they're a very distinct and unique crowd to themselves. They know what they like, and they've always been that way. And when I got back in front of them, I was just reminded of that, thrust right back into that, like, 2015, 2016 time frame, which I remember so fondly. But what I will say about it is, like, that's the most relaxed I've been performing that I can remember with this company. Like, just going back there with Otis by my side, in that setting, in that venue, like, in the place where I used to train, like, every day, it was, like, so cool, man. It was awesome.
Well, you and Otis, such a great tag team, but he's been teaming with Tozawa. Do you consider yourself fully a single star now?
I'd like to. I think, maybe I'll say, like, 2023 might have been my, kind of my breakout as a singles guy, and now 2024 might be my chance to solidify myself as that, whether it's through continuing to have these matches with, like, top elevated guys. But in my opinion, it's time for me to win a singles championship, and 2024 it's going to be the time to do that.
Absolutely, man. Well, looking ahead to WrestleMania here, I mean, there is a lot going on at the moment. Yeah. Who would you ideally like to see yourself share in the ring with when it comes to Mania?
So personally, I'm not finished with Gunther. I never have been. I never got done with him. But we'll see how things shake out. You never know. It's kind of out of my control at this point. Even if it were, if I had any control, things change so quickly here on a weekly, not weekly, on a daily basis in this place. You see the returns of people out of nowhere that no one expected. People popping in and out. You see injuries happen. So, like, what's the point of planning? You just, like, go with the flow, and when something comes your way, over-deliver. And that's what I always intend to do and try to do. So,
you know, you gave me a great setup to my follow-up question, yeah. Chad, because you talk about how day-to-day things change week-to-week, and you have been embroiled in a program with the Viking Raiders.
Yeah.
When we talked at SummerSlam,
yeah.
We were talking about this Viking Rules match, right? And, like, how you took this and you made it your own,
yeah.
And you really enjoyed it.
Sure.
Here we are. It's Rumble. You guys are still very much sure. engaged with the Viking Raiders. How is it getting to have that much time
yeah.
to really work with a group of people and mine what you guys can do?
It's so cool. And what's cool about it is, so I had the match with Ivar Monday. That was our first singles match with me and him. So we've been involved with each other going back as far as you said, but we're still getting new versions of these matches, right?
Yeah.
So it keeps it fresh. And that dude is so awesome. Like, he's had the last, like, 3 months on his own to just, like, show the world what he can do. Talk about over-delivering. Like, every chance he gets, he just kills it. So we're going to, like, I don't get sick of it when it stays fresh and new like this.
Yeah.
Especially with a driven guy. And I have my own, like, I think I would like to do a new version of the Viking Rules match, which we already did. They haven't done a mixed Viking Rules match yet. So he's got a girl by his side. I got access to Maxine. I got access to Ivy Nile now. So what about a mixed Viking ship rules match, whatever you want to call it? And we'll see what kind of carnage we can come up with from that.
All right, last question here. Now, there's been a big return to the WWE. There's been a couple big returns yeah. since we last talked, but the big one, I think, is CM Punk.
Sure.
Now, very controversial guy.
Sure.
A lot of people have opinions about CM Punk.
Sure.
How do you feel about Punk? How do you feel about him being back in the mix?
So, Punk was on his way out right when I was kind of coming in, right? And he admired in, you know, what you might say, controversy multiple times throughout. But
Let's take a break. I don't know. There's a,
the carnage,
a bunch of yelling.
New Day carnage. That's what we call New Day carnage down there.
Okay,
anytime
it.
Those rascals get together.
Anyway. I don't think they can hear on my microphone. Anyway, back to what you were saying.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Punk, just so you know, yes, I'm not ashamed to admit, I used to have the ice cream bar shirt. I used to have the best in the world shirt. I was a fan before I was a wrestler, but that is no longer the case, my friend. I welcome you back. You're good for business. He's a good guy to have around, a veteran. But I think the proper way to welcome him back might be with a couple Chad Gable German suplexes to remind him where he's at and who he's dealing with these days. Anytime he's ready, check it out.
Goosebumps. Chad, thank you so much for the time. I really appreciate it. It's always good catching.
Mother's Day is almost here, and you can get her the most beautiful time-tested gift around. A watch she can wear every day for Movement. Whether mom's into classic dress watches, rare and refined ceramics, or tried-and-true bestsellers, Movement has something she'll love. And right now, you can save big on the best Mother's Day gift ever with up to 50% off site-wide during Movement's Mother's Day sale at MVMT.com. Again, that's up to 50% off at MVMT.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.